This is the Taylor Report CIUT, and I think we're joined by Rick Sterling.
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Rick, thank you very much for joining us. I think there are urgent matters to be talked about, maybe in light of the G20 meeting, where there's kind of a wobbling developing amongst these great powers as to what to think about Ukraine. And you have devoted quite a bit of time in your journalism to explaining the issues there.
Yeah.
I wanted to start with a matter that the New York Times had a piece maybe 3-4 days ago, and they seem to be trying to sell cluster bombs as a great weapon. They did it kind of backhandedly because they weren't sure how to phrase it, but it was basically rationalizing the use of cluster bombs. So I found it, and of course in the piece they said, well, Russia has been using Russia. They want to make sure everybody thinks that Russia has cluster bombs. I think they do, but have been using them. That's not my understanding of the Russian account of themselves. And could you tell us what this weapon is? Why don't people think it should be used? But also, are the Russians using cluster bombs?
Well, the first thing to mention is that the Kiev government, it's confirmed that they've been using cluster bombs way back in 2014. There was actually a Human Rights Watch report from Donetsk, which was the rebellious province, and that was fighting against the coup government in Kiev. And HRW went to the eastern Ukraine and confirmed that the Kiev government was launching cluster weapons.
And in 2014.
Moreover, in 2014. Yeah, you can look it up. More recently, Canadian journalist Eva Bartlett was in Donetsk, and she has a very lengthy article or articles complete with photographs showing they call them petals or butterflies, that are these little weapons that are hard to see on the ground because they almost look like a leaf. So we know that Kiev has been using this in the past. More recently, when the U.S. said that they were going to start supplying cluster munitions to Kiev, they said that the reason was because they were out of the normal munitions, and that so they're so intent on keeping the war.
I forgot that.
Going.
That's right.
Jake Sullivan said that. So. Now, in contrast, and, you know, it's a fair question. Has Russia been using cluster munitions? I've seen very little evidence of this. The BBC did a report from Kharkiv showing cluster munitions, but Kharkiv was controlled by Kiev at one time, and it was controlled by Russia at one time. So it's really unclear who launched those cluster munitions. Vladimir Putin has come right out and said they've never used cluster weapons. He said they have cluster weapons, and if the West uses them intensely, if the Kiev government starts using these cluster munitions that the U.S. has recently provided, they reserve the right to use them. But Putin came right out and said he thinks it's illegal, that they should not be used, and he says that they have not used them to date.
You know, governments jump in on these things, and we really ought to hold them to account, you know, because Canada likes to be in it. Actually, it's one of the problems that Trudeau now has, is that people find him a little bit pristine in his sense of himself and how everything is highly principled. And he said, I mean, his government said the cluster bombs shouldn't be used. What I want to know is, and a lot of countries say that, why don't they double down and say, stop using it? Or, you know, suggest, as one would with someone who's starting to get more and more violent, you say to the person, look, I'm not going to help you if you're going to act like this. We're not getting that kind of conversation at all.
Right. Well, I don't think Biden consulted with Trudeau before he gave the nod.
No, I'm pretty sure he did.
You know, it's a junior partner arrangement, and the U.S. just does as it wishes.
Yes.
You know, the biggest example of that, of course, is the blowing up of the Nord Stream pipeline, which has, in some ways, it's deindustrialized Germany to the extent that they were highly dependent on cheap natural gas, and they no longer have that.
Yeah. And the cluster bomb, these are high grade. I mean, the kind they're using, I understand, is, given the way the New York Times wrote about it, it was like, boy, this is what we need for the big breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And so they're going from back foot to front foot, you know, like, we really need this thing, and it really works. And by the way, they're not hiding the fact at all. And so it just strikes me as kind of important to say that they do this claiming their opponent is using, but there's no, on the Russian side, they're not saying, oh, we really need this, it works, you know, and nothing. As a matter of fact, they say they don't want to use it.
Right,
so,
right.
It's like,
Kiev keeps attacking the civilian infrastructure in Donetsk, and then they're trying to attack civilian infrastructure in Russia. So, you know, the question is, will the cluster munitions make a big difference? Well, they didn't in Vietnam. The U.S. still lost the Vietnam War, despite dropping more weapons by far than were dropped in the entire World War II. So it's not going to change the outcome, and the conflict is just so tragic and so unnecessary.
Yes, and that leads to another matter I wanted to take up with you, which is not discussed here, in my view, enough, because Trudeau and Biden and, of course, the European chorus all say, well, it's a fight for our values and democracy, and that's sacred, and you have to fight to the death. But there are labor laws that are brought in by the Zelensky government. And by the way, my understanding is the labor laws that he's brought in precede the Russian attack, in which they deprive about 70% of the population of union representation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Right, yeah.
Do you
have
any talk about that?
Right, well, the claim that we're defending democracy is fraudulent. You can just look at, and even the Council on Foreign Relations has issued a statement decrying Ukraine's suppression of anything democratic. And they started in March of 2022, just weeks after Russian intervened. They started with a media crackdown. Nearly all stations in Ukraine were combined into one 24-hour station being run by the government. Then in May, 2 months later, they banned 11 political parties, including the largest opposition party, the Platform of Life, previously the Party of Regions, and they imprisoned the leader of that. A couple of months later, the worker rights were taken away. As you were saying, 70% of workers lost the right to bargain or strike. And then another 4 or 5 months later, in November, December, freedom of religion was taken away, and any religious groups that were deemed to be too friendly to Russia were shut down and their assets taken away. And people, I mean, of course, Ukraine was in the Soviet Union. Ukrainians and Russians are like brothers and sisters. And when I was in Russia, that was underscored so many times that they do not hate Ukraine. When I was in Crimea, it was notable there are statues of Ukrainian writers and poets in the city parks. There's the hatred.
Meanwhile, Pushkin's not doing too well in the Ukrainian side.
Exactly. So the hatred goes one way, and it's really been fomented and promoted by the U.S. And they wanted this conflict to erupt, and they promoted division. They promoted anti-Russia hatred. They promoted ultra-nationalism. It was just a few years ago that Time magazine was producing a video talking about the danger of fascism and the neo-Nazi groups in Ukraine. But, of course, all that's disappeared now that that the conflict has escalated.
Yeah, facts go out the window in times of need.
Right.
I'm struck by this. The opposition party, which, by the way, at one time had been the ruling party, right?
Of course.
They've had to change their names, by the way, too, right? They couldn't operate under the name of Party of Regions. They had to change the name.
Yeah. Right, right.
And then they got knocked out anyway.
They were the governing party, and the president was from that party when the coup took place in February of 2014.
The president was a member.
So this is, yeah, and now we're at the point where all men aged between 18 and 60 are prohibited from leaving the country and are liable to conscription.
Mm-hmm. You know, on the point, I notice how casually they accept this idea that you can't have an opposition party, and I think there's a question about whether there's going to be elections. They've already postponed them, I think. But... Mm-hmm. If you consider American history, and since Americans are the ones who are all very passionately involved with this subject, Abraham Lincoln had to run for office in 1864 against a political party led by the former commander of his army.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to win a war in which 650,000 Americans died.
Right, right.
And it wasn't a walkover.
I can see why Zelensky would not want to have an election, because despite the media portrayals of him, he must be very unpopular in Ukraine. I'm sure he's popular in some circles amongst the ultra-nationalists, but let's recall he was just elected in 2019 on a peace platform.
Mm-hmm.
On a platform of negotiating a resolution to the conflict with Eastern Ukraine, and instead he came under the control of oligarchs in Ukraine, plus the U.S. He apparently has a nice mansion in Florida, you know, it's become he's led the country into a totally unnecessary war. All they had to do was agree to allow the eastern part of the country, where the people are consider themselves ethnic Russian and Russian is their first language, allow them the right to continue that and agree not to join NATO, but instead he came under the thumb of Washington, which not only provoked this war, they did it, I believe, intentionally.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have leaders in our own hemisphere who say these things, and our media just shrugs them off. But the president of Brazil, Mr. Lula, he said that this was NATO's responsibility. And my understanding is the president of Mexico has said this, Obrador. And, you know, we are the three amigos, Canada, the United States, Mexico. Why isn't he part of our discussion?
Yeah. The president of South Africa also said that NATO was responsible for this, and it's really tragic. And people forget, that I'm originally Canadian. I am Canadian American. I kind of ended up here by accident.
Hmm. You ran away from our army.
But all of my uncles fought, and some of them died in World War II fighting against Nazi Germany, which some of these. You know, a minority of these Western Ukrainians, certainly the Banderists, they were allies of Nazi Germany. They supported Nazism
proudly.
So it's so ironic that Canada is so vehemently and blindly pro-Kiev. When we consider that history.
I agree. I used to, some time back, I might have asked you once, but it was one of my favorite questions, is we seem to be losing World War II.
Mm, yeah. Well, when I mean,
look at the Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia. Boy, there's some ugly stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And Poland, right. I have to say.
Yeah. Right. Moscow does not want. I mean, there's been no problem with the Baltic states that at the breakup of the Soviet Union, they went their own way. They went with the West, and more recently, they joined NATO. That they always made clear that the red line for them was Ukraine, because mm-hmm. of the proximity to Moscow. Because historically, whether it was Napoleon or Hitler, a lot of those invading troops went through Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. And NATO has provoked this war, and just like Hillary Clinton said, the ultimate neocon, she said Afghanistan is the model, by which she meant not the 2000 invasion or the 2001 invasion of Afghanistan, the 1979, sending jihadists and fanatics
yes.
to Ukraine to destabilize the government.
Hmm. Yeah, they it's a machine, NATO. Nobody doesn't seem to have an off switch. And it's got a whole bunch of new members when it's, and they're not all in anything resembling the North Atlantic. It's a troubling sight. What's your take on these points up? It looks to me like some of these questions are starting to kind of creep in, and not in Europe so much, but this whole phenomenon of the developing countries who just absolutely will not echo anything they hear from Washington or London.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, right from the get-go, 75% of the global population said they were either abstaining or they were against the accusations against Russia. A majority of countries went along condemning what they called the invasion. But if you looked at the numbers, India, China, Brazil, a lot of very, very big countries refused to go along with the sanctions on Russia. And many of them even refused to in the condemnation because they said there was more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were aware that, and like the South African president said that, NATO played a big part in this.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you singling out Russia? And furthermore, some people say that a legal argument can be made that supports Russia's intervention. And of course, the whole thing to underscore the point about this being unnecessary is that they almost had a resolution in March.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few weeks after Russia went in, they almost had a resolution. And as the Turkish president and an Israeli the prime minister has said, the West undermined it.
Yes, which is very striking because NATO member of Turkey and then, of course, Israel. And they said it was the heavy hand of the Americans.
Yeah.
But we can't.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the big battle is for us to get those things repeated in front of our own population,
right.
Because boy, it's always a hailstone storm of propaganda going. Rick, you've been doing some great writing. I should tell our listeners, Rick writes for LA Progressive, and mm-hmm. also, and by the way, a great article on Mexico in August, and also is available at RickSterling99 mm-hmm. on Twitter. So thank you very much, Rick.
Yeah, and don't forget Dissident Voice, which is an excellent publication out of Newfoundland.
We will not forget that.
Never forget Dissident Voice.
And we're going to claim you as a Canadian, so thank you very much.
I am.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.